Music of the New World. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you the New World Choristers, conducted by Peter Wilhowsky, a presentation of NBC's University of the Air. Tonight's program is titled Toward the 20th Century. As the 20th century approached, American music came of age. The composers who lived and worked through the turn of the century had full command of their art. For the first time, they were composing in the larger forms, symphonies, concertos, cantatas, and oratorios, with assurance and mastery. These composers took themselves and their art very seriously. They had a lofty conception of what it meant to be an artist. One of the composers of this group, Dudley Buck, who lived from 1839 to 1909, wrote a chorale work which expresses this spirit of high devotion and dedication to art, Hymn to Music. Dudley Buck's Hymn to Music symbolizes the artistic aspirations of the composers who led American music to new heights of achievement. Music was awakening in the land. American music was moving toward the 20th century with creative confidence. Among its torchbearers were such men as John Knowles Payne, George W. Chadwick, Horatio Parker, and Edward MacDowell, the musical pioneers of modern America. Edward MacDowell has been called the first great American composer. He was a musical poet, a man sensitive to the moods of nature, responsive to the romantic appeal of old legends and ballads. We know him best for his piano music, the lovely tone poems, the dramatic sonatas, the brilliant concertos. His choral music is scarcely known at all, and yet MacDowell wrote much for voices. Not his best work, perhaps, but too good to be entirely forgotten. The New World Choristers sing the second of MacDowell's two northern songs, Opus 43, This is the Slumber Song.
Thank you.
When John Knowles Payne died in 1906, he was the dean of American composers. During his lifespan, American creative music had emerged from the wilderness. It still leaned heavily on European models, spoke with a Harvard accent, but it no longer suffered from an inferiority complex. Several of Payne's pupils had already made a name for themselves with works that revealed a complete mastery of their craft. Among these was George W. Chadwick, also a New Englander. Chadwick lived until 1931, but the bulk of his work was done around the turn of the century. His impressive output includes symphonies, overtures, symphonic poems, chamber music, many songs, and a few outstanding choral works. One of these is a delightful rondel in the form of a canon for four women's voices.
How is it you and I are always meeting so? I see you passing by whichever way I go. I cannot say I know the spell that draws us nigh. How is it you and I are always meeting so? Still thoughts to thoughts reply, and whispers ebb and flow. I say it with a sigh, but half confessed and low, a sigh but half confessed and low. How is it you and I are always meeting so? I see you passing by whichever way I go. How is it you and I can't say I'm always meeting so? I see you passing by whichever way I go. How is it you and I are always meeting so? I see you passing by whichever way I go. How is it you and I are always meeting so? I see you passing by whichever way I go.
Composers of Chadwick's generation had a fondness for setting Latin text to music. Was this an outcropping of that famous New England culture? At any rate, for one of his most ambitious choral works, Chadwick chose an old Latin hymn by an unknown author, Phoenix Expirans, The Dying Phoenix. We hear the New World choristers in the opening chorus from this cantata, which expresses the soul's eagerness to be freed of its earthly bonds.
Spirit.
That was the opening chorus of the cantata Phoenix Expirens by George W. Chadwick, originally composed for the Springfield Festival of 1892. The same year, 1892, marked the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America. It was an occasion that the New World could not fail to commemorate. Dudley Buck, John Knowles Payne, and George Chadwick all wrote music especially for the World's Columbian Exposition at Chicago. Buck's contribution was a cantata, The Voyage of Columbus, based on Washington Irving's Life of Columbus. The great discoverer became the hero of many musical works. In Brazil, the famous composer Carlos Gomes wrote his oratorio Colombo, destined to be his last composition. Gomes had won international acclaim when his opera Il Guarani triumphed at La Scala in Milan in 1870. Now he was nearing the end of a glorious career. In 1893, he visited the Chicago Exposition, where he conducted selections from his operas. 3 years later, he died. Gomes used Italian text for his operas because they were written for production in Italy. With less justification, perhaps, he followed the same practice in his Colombo, from which we hear now the final chorus, Hymn to the New World.
Salve, immortal conquistator, più prezioso ancor del velo d'or, l'abbraccio a te.
Hymn to the New World, from the oratorio Colombo, by the famous 19th century Brazilian composer Antonio Carlos Gomes. And now we return to New England and to a composer whose greatest contribution to American music was in the choral field, Horatio W. Parker. Of the more than 40 choral works written by Parker, one of the best known is the Hora Novissima, first performed by the Church Choral Society of New York in 1893. This is a setting for soli, chorus, and orchestra of a medieval Latin poem by Bernard de Morlaix in praise of the celestial country. The composer's mother made an English translation of the text. An example of Parker's vital and effective chorale writing in this work is the fugue for chorus a cappella, Urbs Sion Unica, City of High Renown.
Oh,
conducted by Peter Wilhowsky, the New World choristers have just sung the fugue Ub Sion Unica from Horatio W. Parker's cantata Hora Novissima. When Ethelbert Nevin died at the beginning of the 20th century, he left unfinished a cantata called The Quest, and it was Horatio W. Parker who completed the scoring of this work. This friendly gesture could not hide the fact that a wide gulf separated Nevin from Parker and the other composers of the New England group. Nevin was not made of such stern stuff as theirs. All his life he aspired to create large, impressive works, but he remained, in fact, only a charming miniaturist, a composer, notably, of The Rosary. And though he lacked breadth and scope, Nevin had a gift for melody, and for this he is remembered. In 1888, when he was 26 years old, Nevin published a sketchbook containing 8 songs. One of these was later arranged for chorus by none other than Victor Herbert. It is called Oh That We Two Were Maine. Arthur W. Foote, who lived to the ripe old age of 84, was the last of the old guard of New England composers who had been pupils of John Knowles Payne. Among the many choral works of Arthur Foote is a Latin motet which seems specially suited to the world of today, Vita Nostra Plena Bellis, Our Life is Full of Battle.
Thank you.
You're listening to the New World Choristers, conducted by Peter Wilhowski, presented as a summer feature of Music of the New World. This is a presentation of NBC's University of the Air, which also brings you a dramatic program, They Call Me Joe, on Saturday evening, and the historical series Lands of the Free on Sunday afternoons. Tonight's program, Toward the 20th Century, was the third in this special summer series of choral music. In a sense, the composers whose works were performed in this broadcast belong to the past, but they prepared the future, and they belong to the continuing tradition of American music. Next week, the New World Choristers will offer music by some American composers of today. Music of the New World is written by Gilbert Chase, who plans the series in collaboration with Ernest LaPrague. The production is directed by James Haupt. This is Ben Grauer speaking. This program is presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is the National Broadcasting Company.